Lamentations chapter 3 tonight. And it's almost more than difficult for me to say what I want to say in the just a few minutes that we have. I study and prepare. I've done a word study on the word consumed, and the word consumed is where I get my message from tonight. There are about 95 verses that deal with the little word consumed. In Lamentations 3, Jeremiah is making reference to the experience that this nation and these people must face. Jeremiah is looking back upon the past. He has given us clarity that the judgment of God is come upon Jerusalem, and Jeremiah has been sitting in the rubble and the ruins of Jerusalem, and while he weeps, does he write? It's amazing how that crisis sometimes brings forth the creed under which we read consistently. Jeremiah's message is a message that has been rejected. He didn't seem to be able to get people to understand what he's saying. Boy, I feel quite like his kin tonight. I have felt on many occasions that I seem to have difficulty getting people to understand what I'm saying. And undoubtedly they don't understand it because sometimes they have difficulty coming to it. But I'm saying that a little sarcastic because I do believe that people understand more than they give surrender to. But people are trying to wait until they feel comfortable. When some people feel comfortable coming back to the Word, it may be too late. It may be over. So there is a constant consideration for the person of God when people sit among the ruins of despair. These verses seem to bring the bright spot to Jeremiah's life to say that there is hope in God. There's one particular symbol that rings louder than all the others. It is the symbol regarding the Lord's mercies. Jeremiah found that the mercy of Almighty God unlocked doors that no one had keys for, that brought hope to people that no one ever dreamed God could set free. So for a few minutes tonight, I want to preach a simple message on how did this happen when everything seemed to be going so well. You know, we've all had those experiences where it looked like everything was in our favor. Maybe something good was about to happen, and all of a sudden, there was a crash. And when we went to see what happened, it involved us. Most of the elements that happen in the human life nowadays are elements that remind us of how much we need God on every turn. So now I want to use maybe a few of these verses to try to declare what Jeremiah says in Lamentations 3. We want to honor God's word as we stand tonight, please. In the third chapter, the 18th verse, is where I'd like to begin. And I want us to try to find our place. One of the main reasons that I try not to read Scripture hurriedly is because it is the most important element in this room. Oh, I hope that I've prepared and I hope that I've got it all ready. But just in case I am in the way, what we read in the Scripture will be the way to lead us and direct us and to guide us. Amen. So my preaching is not my own words, but the words of the Most Holy One. Lamentation 3 verse 18. If you found it, would you acknowledge by saying amen? And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. I believe I'll let you be seated. How is it that sometimes the situation before us seems to be so cloudy, seems to have such thick fog, seems to have so many pieces that make us nervous and frighten us and make us listen up and bring us back to church because something's wrong and we're not sure or sure what it is. When Jeremiah says what he says in the 18th verse, he identifies what is happening within him. It's one thing to talk about what is happening inside of someone else, of which we do not know. But I'll tell you plainly tonight, if I were to go around this room and say, what's happening to you? You could tell me. If I could ask you, where have you been? How many miles have you traveled? What have you been through? How about the trenches? Has there been pain in the trench that you've been living in? I want to tell you, Jeremiah makes it plain. How did all of this happen when everything was going so well? Sometimes people have that to happen. Now let's clarify something. We know that Jeremiah's been in the thicket of hardship for a long time. But some people, they have not been listening. They have not heard the message. They do not see the problems. They do not understand that the issue is them. And God's about to get their attention. What happens sometimes to the people that are trying the most to get the word out and trying to bring truth to the eyes and the ears and the hearts of God's people? And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Now, there are two or three things that we've got to connect with tonight. Number one, we've got to assure ourselves that for one time in our life, we're going to be honest. Too many people are plagued church. They're not being honest about how things really are. You ask them how they're doing. Oh, I'm just fine. Well, if you're just fine, as careless as you're living, then I must really be in a pickle. I'm here to tell you that the first thing that he does is expressly to declare, what has happened to me? Let's go deep with Jeremiah, okay? Number one, we know at some point in some place in his life, he got discouraged. You know how we know it? Because of Jeremiah's own words. He come to a point and a place in his life that he was going to just quit. He was going to lay it down, and he was going to forget it, and he was going to leave it. But he said he couldn't. He couldn't keep quiet because of what? There was a fire what? Shut up in his bones. It brought Jeremiah back to his senses. And I want to tell you, thank God that every once in a while, God has people that are living through the rubble and the ruins of this world. And yes, they have scars. And yes, they have problems. And yes, they have family members that won't listen. But they know that somewhere in all of that, the mercy of God will come to the surface. Two things that strike me deeply. First of all, the expression that Jeremiah uses when he talks about his own strength. Now, being that I am a word fanatic, I think that we should dig into the soil where I have been plowed. That word that he uses for strength there is a word in the Hebrew language that identifies the bright object at a distance. I think Jeremiah is saying, there were days when I was a little stronger than I am right now. I could see me, don't you remember? I mean, you know, boy, when I was much younger, I had all the answers. Now, many of you were not near as bad as I was. But I had a lot of answers. And all of a sudden, I have reached the page in my life that says, find answers. Where? Holy Scriptures. And all of the things, the situation, and all of the issues that seem to be so simple, all of a sudden have become complications. How could all this happen when everything seemed to be going so well? And then a crash comes. He says, not only is it, it show us now you've got to understand there's another element that's missing. There's a goal in Jeremiah's mind. And I really believe that the first thing that he had to do was admit where he is. And I said, my strength and my hope has perished from the Lord. Now, what Jeremiah was really saying is all of my confidence seemed to be at his most distant view. Have you ever doubted maybe what God was doing in your life? Oh no, don't give me that pious religious look. I want you to be honest. Has there ever been a time or a place in your life when you really had issues? I mean, this thing don't make sense. It don't add up. There's just no human reason that things are just ought to be the way they are. I'll tell you something. I do a lot of soul searching when things crowd me. And by the way, Jeremiah is a prophet. Jeremiah, now you said, well, what does that make a difference? Why does that make a difference? For one big reason. A prophet was a person that was called of God, ordained of God, and endowed of God. He had the ability to see it as God saw it because God endowed him with it. You with me? So the message that Jeremiah brings to these people is not Jeremiah's message, but God's message. He's only a mouthpiece. Now let me show you the similarity. The similarity is this. Jeremiah said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. I've lost my expectation. I don't know what to expect anymore. Boy, that sounds like a present page in our lives. Isn't that right? Maybe a lot of people are watching the debate tonight. Huh? Maybe of them are interested in how much man can groom up and conjure up to try to tell them it's going to get better. It will not get better until God makes it better. Now, watch him. He said, my strength, the peace is that is at the greatest distant view. My confidence, and where am I? My hope almost perished from the Lord. Let me show you how critical this distant view and Jeremiah's heart was. I will say this so that you are clear with me. Jeremiah is in one of the most bitter adversities he has ever been in. And when you are in bitter adversity, when things oppose you and you are seeking to do well, you're seeking to do right, you're seeking to do good, your ambitions are pure. Your motives have been combed of God, the Holy Spirit. And you know that where you are is a place that you're trying to please God more than anything else. Jeremiah was there. But he said, the truth is, my strength and my hope has perished from the Lord. Now I'll tell you what. How critical it is. I studied that word for perish. And the word for perish, in the Hebrew language, we get the English word for wandering away. Man, you know, like it's gone, it's here today and it's gone tomorrow. It's gone. It's wandered off somewhere. It's took a hike. Matter of fact, I studied a little bit deeper and I found the word F-A-I-L, fail. What he's saying is, what I thought I had in God is failing me. That's an interesting word, isn't it? Have you ever come to a place in your Christian experience that you thought, maybe, God, I'm just not a success? You told me that we are more than conquerors. We are. You never base your destiny on what you're feeling. Did you hear what I just said? People have a tendency, man, you know, they tell you all these stories about what they've been through. Well, maybe God let you go through all of that just to get you where you are. And if you had not been through that, you might not be as open to listen as you are right now. So he said, my strength and my hope, they have perished from the Lord. Now, I found a couple of things that moved me deeply. The word that is used for Lord there was a word that was repeated nationally among those people because it was the word Jehovah. It identified God's self-existence and God's eternal. He needs no one's help to be here. He came of his own. And he will be here when all others have fallen. Now, when you see that word, capital L, capital O, capital R, and capital D, it will remind you of this person, Yahweh. Oh boy, that pretty much pulls the curtain on everybody else. Now, sometimes you see the little word, you see the capital L, little O, little R, and little D. That is the word Lord. It shows us another characteristics of God, but it shows him as our owner. I don't believe people know who they belong to. Do you? Now, Jeremiah is pointed in his conversation. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Remembering mine affliction, he's got all the signs. Man, I watch myself daily, and maybe I make too much reference to it. But every time I look at my hands, I remind myself that I've been in a collision. I really do. And do you know that not only can I look at my hands and know that I've been in a collision, but when other people see me and my hands are scarred, they wonder what happened. Hey, it may be worth a little thought for you to look around tonight at your neighbor, because you look into the eyes of people that can tell you something about what they've been through. Jeremiah is standing as a representation of God to the people. Is that right? He's brought them a word. He has a message. He's given them something. But the truth is, whether they respond to God and they do right before God or not, it will not change his mercy. Now the Lord's name means more, doesn't it? It cannot change him. See, Jeremiah was looking in view. He could view the severe judgment of God. Some of the people in the nation thought it was too severe until they get down to that little word for mercy, which is the Hebrew word kesed, and it means he's loving kindness. So Jeremiah viewed all that was happening. He could see all that was going on, and he's mindful of the loving kindness of God. Well, whether you understand it or you can see it or not, it makes a difference. Verse 19 said, remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall. Boy, he's very detailed. What he says about himself is easily recognized. Number two, it's not only easily recognized, it is recounted in the mind. Isn't it amazing how when things happen to us that are bad, we go over and over and over all this bad junk? Now, you got to be careful with that one. You know, that can mess you up. Huh? I watched my dad come home in a rage one night. Boy, he's trying to, you know, he had been out with the boys. And he tried to get his mind off of it. And he was trying to help somebody. And in the process, he got embarrassed. And I remember him sitting down on the couch. And boy, all of a sudden, he popped up and he said, Roxy, take me back out here. Now, you've got to understand, the reason he asked my mother to take him is because he was under the influence of something he shouldn't have been in. And she said, I'm not going to do it. He said, well, I'll drive myself. And guess what he did? And when he went back, he cleaned the plate. Because he rehearsed it in his mind, what he's going to do to that man. And he did it. Now, I'm sure you've never done anything you rehearsed in your mind, have you? Boy, I thought to myself a few times. You know, I had the same thing happen to me. I wasn't drunk, though. But I might as well have been. Man, sometimes you can get so torn up in who you are that you'll take matters into your own hands and then you'll feel, I've been a fool. Isn't that something? So now Jeremiah brings us to our senses. He said, I'm remembering. I've been able to recognize easily. I've been recounting. And the truth is, it's all been recorded. You see, just because Jeremiah was a prophet, he wasn't going to get by with it. You see, even the prophet had to deal with himself. Hey, let me just let you in on something. How do you think I get all this stuff? Do you think that I'm this angelic being, and man, God just rides by on a cloud, and he says, look up here, son. Let me give you a little heavenly honey and drop it on. No, I want to tell you, God takes me right through the grinder just like he does you. The prophet said, I'm remembering some of the things that smart me. Number one, I remember mine affliction. Now, I want to put this in a proper order for us in the here and the now. I want to make this as practical, but modern terminology, it's lost its way a little bit since I was a boy. Things really mean different. You know, these little kids going around and said, you're going out? And I said, where are you going? You ain't but 9 or 10. Oh, no, it don't mean that, Daddy. It means that they're boyfriend and girlfriend. They're going out. Well, bless God, when I was a boy, going out meant you was going out with somebody. Huh? All times have changed, ain't they? But see, Jeremiah's speaking in a language they're very much aware of. He said, remembering mine affliction, a good word. That I found in the definition of that word affliction was the word trouble. Now, boy, when we start talking about the things that's kind of caught our attention, we can all say we've had our share of trouble. Huh? Elvis sung it like this. He said, if you're looking for trouble, look right in my face. I don't tell you something, I ain't looking for trouble. Trouble finds me. And the truth is, if you serve God and you love God, you'll find trouble too. Because it's in the journey of where we live. You see, the corruption was all around this prophet. You know, you wouldn't think that you could become contaminated if you were righteous, living among unrighteous people, but you can. You know, I found out you can get dust in your house without ever going outside. You know why? There's cracks in your house. You don't know it. Is that right? You ever open the door? I hope you do. I mean, I hope you're not going to tell me you had one of them experiences and you just go through it. Don't come trying to talk to me about that. I can see him. He said, remembering, he knows. See, he's been disarmed. But I want to tell you something. He's not been disarmed permanently. Have you ever temporarily disengaged? You know what I'm talking about? Where you just couldn't get it together. And I think that this is somewhat of what Jeremiah, he said, man, I want you to understand, remembering my affliction and my misery, I've been mourning, I feel like I'm destitute, I feel like I've been cast out because I'm in misery, I know I've been wrongly treated, But let me go back to the word of affliction. If you know that misery means those things and affliction means trouble, it also means to depress. Well, there's some things just kept beating us down and beating us down and beating us down. We got another human word that we use, and I found this English word is the word to weaken. Have you ever been weakened? Man, I want to tell you, it was a frightening thing. Here I go again. I just knew when that man pulled them pins out of my hand and they cut that cast off my arm that I was going to be able to go back to doing what I'd been doing. Well, I've come a long way in a week. I've even got my little finger where it looks like a part of my hand now. It just about gave me a fist. I've been working on it. Oh, I've been told all kinds of stuff. You need to stay off of that piano. That piano's been good therapy. See, I done asked the doctor about this stuff. He said the biggest problem you're going to have is musicians, they really get upset. Oh, I hadn't got upset because when my hand come out, that's all it would do right there. That's all it would do right there. I'm getting it back. A little at a time, but I'm getting it back. And son, you wait. This time I plan on getting beyond where I was. I mean, I don't know, but somehow or another, I think that Jeremiah identifies the trouble and having been depressed and having been weakened, and his plain description is saying, I've been hurt. Man, how did this all happen when everything looked like it was going so good? I want to tell you something. You decide in your heart, you intend to make a difference in this world, you're going to run into some humps in the road. But it's okay. Those humps are not there because God's trying to choke you or kill you. They're there to build you up. They are. I found out just little things make a difference. I found out that it didn't matter how I thought I was, I had to go back to the elementary things. By the way, that leads me to a good point. If we just go back to the script. If we just go back to trying to read them, you said, I don't understand it, read it anyhow. Just read it. Because there's a blessing in reading. You don't believe it, turn to the book of Revelation. He said, blessed is he that readeth and him that heareth and him that heedeth. God knows what it takes. Just read it. Now, it doesn't stop. And I don't have time to develop this thought. I'm a little reluctant to even mention it. But he mentions the wormwood and the gall. Every time I hear the word gall, I think of Jesus. Don't you? Don't you remember when they were mistreating him, what they did? Huh? By the way, there's a good reason why he couldn't partake of that. You know, they tried to do something to soothe him. You think you can soothe the supernatural? Lord God, he had to die for you and die for me. And the chastisement that was laid on him for us to go free. Oh, I can see him now. That wormwood. I don't know how they separated the two words because some of the same definition that was in the word for wormwood was even in gall because one identified the curse. That's worth a big study right there. That'll challenge you a little bit, won't it? The wormwood. And then the gall, the terminology poisonous. They get the idea of the venom and the snake as if you've been bitten. Oh, I want to tell you something. Jeremiah might have been a prophet, but he got bit. You know that? Just because we're saved, it doesn't mean we're not going to get bit. Oh, how did all this happen when everything was going so well? I'm going to tell you something, folks. When things are going good, you better do all you can to serve God because there's going to be a day when it's not going to be so good, and then what you going to do? Well, you see, that was only the beginning. The Bible said, he said in verse 20, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. You know, I'm probably my greatest critic. I really, I wouldn't need another person in this world or on this planet to tell me how many faults that I have, because I'm my greatest enemy. I know them. I'm not like some of these people. I know what some of my problems are. Have you ever met anybody that didn't have any problems? I mean, they tell you, man, I ain't nothing wrong with me. Is that right? I think y'all got the point. He said, my soul hath them in remembrance and is humbled in me. I can recognize. I've made mention. I've recounted and I've fought on them. And man, I want to tell you, I've sunk lower and lower. I've been humbled. I've bowed down. And while I'm down, I'm inclined my ear for God to talk to me. Verse 21, he said, this I recall to my mind. Now, I like this. Therefore have I hope. Now, you say, Pastor, what is he saying? I'll give you this much and I'll leave you alone, okay? Jeremiah said, after all this experience, after all this trouble, after being in all this junk, I still have hope. How do you have hope, Jeremiah, when you're down in all that garbage? He said, because I want you to understand there's an answer for where I am. There's a reason for where I am. He said, God's given me a mind. God's implanted in me courage. God's given me understanding. I want to tell you something. Just trust God. Even if you don't understand where you are, just know that God has a plan that's 100% proven to be satisfactory for our needs. He said, this I recall to my mind, therefore have our hope. You see, I got to digging far enough. They use that little word, therefore. I found out something. You know, somebody said when you see the word therefore, you ought to ask, what is it therefore? Well, this is what I found out, class. I found that he meant, there's another word in that same word that means after this. After all of that, I found hope. I want to tell you something. Sometimes a person's got to go down before they'll know what the big need is. Sometimes they've got to come to a low before they'll know what the real need is. He said, I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. Two things or three and I'm finished. You ready? There are two or three things that should happen in this room for us. If y'all hear me, say amen. Number one, that word hope is a word that means to wait for. Sometimes we're just a little bit impatient on how God's going to fix this. Are you still with me? I mean, we're just not sure. I mean, man, we've been in this thing so long, we just don't know whether God's got a fix for it or not. But He does. So He uses that little old word for hope. I found a little old word there to wait on. Or to be patient with. Then I found the little word trust, T-R-U-S-T. It means to just believe in. Just, I want you to know that after all of this, therefore I have hope. I've learned to trust God. You see, one of the things that's already settled in my heart is that I know no matter what I face in life, I can trust God. I may have a lot of question marks by a lot of other people. But when it comes to God, I can trust Him. That's the God's truth. I have no idea what's going to happen to people. I'm not near as spiritual as some of these so-called preachers. I don't see what's happening to every person. Of course, I want to run the real forward. They don't either. If they did, they'd be God. Huh? For the record, let me just lay the foundation right here. Even when God shared word with the prophet, He shared word with the prophet to bring the nation back to repentance. He didn't bring glory to the prophet. He brought glory to His plan and His word, His will for them. Isn't that good? So I want to say tonight, I think that we ought to be mindful. God is a considerate person in our life, and we should never forget Him. The bitter adversity that we find Jeremiah facing, he faced it knowing that hope seemed to be fleeing away little by little. But you know, I found out something about hope. Hope revives the soul. Man, I'll just be honest. One of these days, I won't be talking all this trash, but I've learned a lot of lessons over this mess right here. No, that ain't right. I am learning a lot of things. I've learned that the little least of things can be my biggest help. You know how I finally got my finger to bend like that? I started out. I went to the internet and I found a piece of reading where they talked about hand exercise. And they said if you can get your thumb to ever work to where your pinky meets. And the Lord will tell you, I started doing just like that over and over. And you know I can pull that big boy down just like that right there. Just something so little. And I started thinking, with, you know, I've never been in this situation, so I don't really know. But you know what? I did that a few days, and I found out that when I started closing my hand, my little finger felt like it ought to be a part of it. And it started working. Oh, you just don't know how good that feels. You said, you're so childish. I know it. Pray for me. See, distress even came to the life of a prophet. Pain's experienced in the life of everyone. But who you turn to when it gets like that makes a lot of difference. May God help us to recognize that even though trauma may be in our lives, could be even in our families, could be in our community, could be in our past, could have staggered our present, it does not mean that God is harming us and hurting us. It may just very well be that God's brought us here so He can use us. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You for being so good and so gracious. And sometimes, Lord, it's just the simplest of truths that seem to say the greatest of words. And I pray that through our study tonight together, that You might have done something that brings us back to hope. I know there's a lot of pain in this room, a lot of trouble, misery, and some of these folks have sank low and low and low, and it looks like that they're in a hole all by themselves. But thank You, God, that You are with. Thank You that You're there for them. I ask You to go with them as they leave the room, that they may find what God has for them. They may embrace it, and that they may live it out in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, boy, God's good, isn't He?